Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it took him quite a while to get the hint, but as you know, Joe Biden has finally decided to withdraw from the US presidential race. That decision probably involved a bit of kicking and screaming on his part, but for many people, the decision to quit something can involve a degree of liberation. After all, there are loads of things we probably do just because we feel we should. Washing, looking after kids, wearing pants. News Talk's What's Wrong with Guinness for Breakfast correspondent Henry McKean has been out searching for tales of freedom. Afternoon, Henry.
Sean, good afternoon. And yeah, quitting can be a celebration. It can be winning. And as Biden said, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my time. Yeah, was he fired? Was he forced out? Yes, all those things. And saying it on X, formerly Twitter, it is really interesting when it comes to quitting. When is the right time to go? When is the right time to say, that's it, I'm out of here, I've had enough, let's just call it a day? And it can be a good thing, because some of us just won't. We just keep going.
Or you just hang on for too long and then you go, why have I wasted the last 19 years of my life doing this radio show? I mean, it could be anyone in any situation. Yeah. I mean,
Why? Why did we hang on? Why did we do it? I did get to speak to lots of members of the public, and here is a lady who quit many, many jobs. But we start with an American on Biden, and is quitting winning?
I think he did what was right for the country. He took his own personal gain out for what he thought was best for the citizens of the United States.
Have you ever quit yourself?
Sure, at certain things. There was a couple times it was the right thing to do. Never quitting is an absolute, and like all absolutes, they're subject to failure.
So you're saying Biden did the right thing?
For the country, I believe he did. He's just not in position to carry on for another 4 years. It took him a while to recognize it, but in the end, he made the right decision.
I've done hundreds of jobs throughout my life. A lot of them I really didn't like, but my favourite one was hotels, where I lasted the longest at that.
So you spent a long time in the hotel business?
On and off, about probably 15, 16 years. Yeah.
And what did you quit at? What jobs did you quit?
Jobs I really hated. I lasted about 3 hours on a checkout till.
You didn't like being a checkout girl?
Oh, God, no.
Why?
Too boring. It was too much like factory work.
You didn't like it. Have you done factory work?
Yeah, I did about 2 years in Bray. Oh,
what was that like?
97, I think it was. Hard work, but you just have to keep going.
And what did you do in the factory?
The tablets go into a blister pack, and you have to do it really quickly. So
packaging?
Packaging, yeah.
Packing?
Yeah, packing, yeah.
And you didn't like
it? Dead boring.
And you quit?
Oh, yeah.
And no looking back, no regrets?
Oh, God, no.
Did you quit on men?
Yeah.
What happened?
On lockdown day. Look, life's tough.
Yes, it is. But there is a story there. If only she'd told you what it was.
Yeah, I mean, like that. I remember breaking up with someone and I kind of allowed the breakup to happen. I'm not sure who broke up with who. And it was such a relief.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
No, that does. But that
I'm
sounds
break
like
up
you were,
with you.
Yeah,
yes,
but
I
you didn't have to say the words. You just kind of let them, you know, do the running there. And that's even better.
It was the hardest thing to do, the hardest thing to break up with this particular person, but the best thing. And I just still feel this massive relief.
Yeah.
To this day.
I wonder, did they feel it? Or did they feel it at the time? It's something that comes with time, I suppose. You might at the time be angry or resentful, and then months later, years later even, you might go, it was for the best.
Oh, absolutely. Quitting, I think, is winning. Quitting is, I shouldn't be celebrating quitters, but yeah, I am.
No, but not always, though. Sometimes you can just quit things just because you're rubbish and you've no backbone.
And it's not for you.
There can be that.
Yeah. Well, that too.
I was working in a hotel for 10 years, loved my job, very stressful, but a new manager came in and that was that. She was nuts. Time to go, says Dermot. That can make the difference.
Oh, completely. You can have a terrible boss. You can have someone that you don't like in the workplace, or you can have someone who smells and doesn't wash.
Oh, God.
And that will get you. That will cause you to quit. You know, you can give them all the advice in the world that they need a shower.
Yeah.
And they just don't get that message. And they just stink. Sorry. No, you smell good, by the way.
This is getting weirdly specific, this memory.
It's getting personal.
So you did talk to somebody who was like almost like a quitting expert. Not that she's a quitter, but she has done some work into this.
I did. But before that, I speak to a man, actually. And, you know, his life, he says, is a bit boring. But I ask him, are you a quitter?
I don't think so, no.
So what makes you not a quitter? How come you keep going on that path?
I'm probably just a very boring person. Keep it safe, you know.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a primary school teacher.
And you've done that since you left school, went to primary school, university?
No, I did a couple of other things.
You did?
Yeah, well, I was a secondary school teacher. and I worked in Leinster House for a while.
And then back into
teaching? Then back into teaching, yeah. Keep it safe.
And what was it like working in Leinster House?
It was really interesting. I did it for a year, but it wasn't for me.
And did you feel like you quit that day when you said, you know what?
Again, very safe. They gave me a career break, so it was all good.
When is a good time to quit?
I think when something's not really working for you. I think just knock it on the head and move on.
Have you always stayed in the same job? Have you ever quit?
I've never quit, no.
You just kept going. And what did you do for a living?
Aluminium fabricating, powder coating.
And you did it as long as you could?
As long as I could.
And now you're?
Retired.
And you're enjoying it?
I am indeed.
No, I don't quit. I never quit anything.
You just keep going?
Yeah.
You never quit?
No. English attitude, keep calm, carry on.
So stiff upper lip?
Yep, definitely. We're on our way to a pool bar for a game of pool.
And you're not going to quit?
That's it. That's what it's all about. Winners never quit. Quitters never win.
So that man was a teacher... Basically, mm-hmm. He was a secondary school teacher and a national school teacher. And did he say what he did in Leinster? Was he Taoiseach for a while or anything like
I'm
that?
I'm not sure. I'm guessing he was a parliamentary assistant for the Green Party. I just made that up. I'm actually not sure what he did.
Yeah, a gimp of a Green Party person.
Is that what a parliamentary assistant is?
And I don't know. They just sit around. Say, don't
they
do that, boss.
They
just sit around going, you're right, you know.
Or they're
absolutely
kind of like
spot on there. You should do that.
Rottweilers to keep us away from the ministers. That's what they do.
Brian says, Joe Biden's announcement last night overshadowed Clare winning the All-Ireland hurling final. I suspect, Brian, you're from Cork, because I don't think anything would overshadow that, especially most of Clare who were lying down shaken after their nerves. I've quit about 15 jobs. I think I learned from all of them, but I get bored very quickly, so better to move on, says James. Okay, well, it's good to know you get bored very quickly, though it would be good if you could find a job where your low boredom threshold, you could then turn that into an ability, if you know what I mean, into a superpower, something where it includes...
Well, I think it's brave that listener can just keep quitting and getting other jobs. I mean, that takes balls.
It does, but see, I wonder...
And dangerous.
Has James got, like, a mortgage to pay and a rake of kids, you know, begging for things?
Because it's a really risky move.
Yeah, you can't really quit then.
No.
You have to do that kind of stuff.
Unless you have another job lined up.
Yeah. Anyway, you did, as I was saying earlier, you did talk to somebody who has done a bit of work on this area.
Yeah, here is Aideen Finnegan, journalist and podcaster from the Irish Times. She created a podcast series called How to Pivot about radical career changes. And she looks at this for us.
Joe Biden quitting the US presidential race, that's a very specific form of quitting. And I'll hold my political opinions and all around that and whether he was actually quitting or forced out. But what I can say is he's going to have an easier life because of the decision he made. Sometimes we can be so invested in a career because we worked so hard to get there that it's very hard to turn away from it. Like if you think about all the expense and training, we'll say lawyers or doctors go through years and years of it. And then you find out the job is actually making you miserable. You might need to accept it would be better for your own health than sanity to quit, but that's a very difficult decision. And there's a major sort of American proliferation of, you know, hustle culture and being a winner and not a quitter. And actually, that's just Instagram stuff. It's nonsense. There are times when being a quitter is actually the smartest thing you can do. So on How to Pivot, I wanted to talk to people who'd left their jobs where, we'll say, on paper, it didn't make any sense to leave. Like one of the people I spoke to was a woman called Sarah Shannon, who was a lawyer, and she's now a yoga teacher in Portugal. She does these retreats. So I wanted to kind of really drill down into the nitty gritty of like why people made those decisions and crucially, how do they do it? Because I think a lot of what stops us from quitting is, oh, you know, I've got kids, I've got a mortgage. I'm such an age. How could I possibly make this change now? And it's hard when you see people who seem really okay with throwing caution to the wind. I'm very much not. I'm very risk averse. So I was curious to know what the mindset is of people who, you know, walk away from what looks to be the height of their career. And, you know, what do they have to do to make it work? And what I found was really something that you could apply to any change that you make in your life. I mean, first of all, you have to figure out what you want. And I know that sounds so obvious, but for some people, and I put myself in this position as well, like, you completely lose touch with what you want because the daily grind of life, constantly on the hamster wheel, scrolling on phones, not having any thoughts, time to yourself, it really drives a wedge between you and yourself, if you know what I mean. Some of the insights that I think are worth sharing from the people I spoke to was change the narrative. Like, why are you telling yourself that you can't do it? And if you don't know what career you want to pivot to, you know, you need to identify the bits of your week that you enjoy the most and do more of those. And as much as you can, delegate the things you dislike. And do you know who actually told me that? News Talk's Kira Kelly. And she's a very interesting episode. I think you'd enjoy. The other thing is, you have this inner critic that does not want you to leave your comfort zone. And once you listen to that voice, you will never take the leap. There's actually, you know, scientific research, well, psychological research into that inner critic. You know, it served a purpose in your childhood, but it's not helpful to you now. So you need to tell that person, thank you for trying to protect me, but I've got this. The thing to remember is that if you constantly imagine the worst case scenario, then do yourself a favor and imagine the best case scenario. And really, the likely outcome is somewhere in the middle.
That was Aideen Finnegan, the journalist and podcaster who used to work here. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of done it herself a bit, changed her around a bit.
This parish.
Yes. Now, I mean, she was in journalism here and went to journalism there. She wasn't like a brain surgeon here and radically changed her job or anything.
She pivoted.
Even still, she pivoted. I think it's good to quit if the decision ultimately makes you happy, says Joyce. That's true, but how do you know? Is it going to make you ultimately happy? That's the tricky bit. Cormac says, the secret to quitting is removing all evidence that you tried. That sounds like it takes a lot of effort, Cormac, to do that. I would love to quit if only it were that easy. I've been in my job in the health service for nearly 30 years, but too many are depending on me at home for the income, so I have to stick it out. And that's probably the predicament for many people.
Don't quit now.
They've got responsibilities. Fiona says, I never quit anything. I don't like giving up. I'm too stubborn. Then does that make you happy? Or can that make you unhappy because you're your own kind of worst enemy? Did you meet many people, Henry, who, you know, changed things?
Like, just to say, myself, I quit at a phone party in Crete. I used to work in a phone party, but we used to give out glasses.
Now, that begs a number of questions. What does working at a phone party involve?
I used to sell tickets to the phone party in Crete, and the idea that, you know, I think it was in drachma back then, and they got free drink. Well, they paid for the drink, the price of the ticket.
Yeah.
And basically it was a disco outside with lots of foam, like a huge bubble bath, and it would cover your whole face.
Okay.
But we were trying to save, so we didn't buy plastic cups, and we served up glasses, and people would drop, and then everyone got cut feet.
Oh, no.
And then the foam would turn to a kind of pink
while color. They were covered in foam.
Yeah.
So how could you even drink your drink if you were covered in foam? You'd just really be drinking foam.
Well, you kind of do. I mean,
it makes no sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was the 90s. Nothing in the 90s.
And why did you quit? Were you on, have a poor work-life balance there?
I felt bad for the people with cut feet, and I had to just
say, you know what? But did you try protesting to your superiors first and saying, look at those bloody feet?
I just kind of slinked off. I just ran away.
In a huff.
I just quit.
Yeah.
Probably quit.
But I had a job. I actually didn't, because I did the training course and then I quit. And this is a long time ago. Selling encyclopedias.
Cool. Everyone used to have them.
I know. Yeah, everyone used to have them. But they gave you this like training thing where it's so easy to sell an encyclopedia. You just knock on their door and, you know, and they'll invite you in and give you tea and then spend hundreds on a set of encyclopedias.
That's so expensive.
So expensive. Mm. But they do things like, well, what I say to them is, I say the neighbours have bought some, and then they'll be, you know.
Did that work?
No. And so then, like, the final day was, you know, you go out with some geezer who's some, like, I make £1 million a year from doing this stuff. And he just went down the street. Everybody just would say, if it's books, no thanks, and slam the door in his face. Jesus. And then you might go, you know, I was making out like, oh, no, this is completely abnormal. It's usually much easier than in this hoop.
Wow.
So I quit.
Well,
I didn't even tell them. I just left.
You just left. And I think with selling, you have to give the impression that you don't care if they buy the book or not. Like selling cars, when someone comes in, and that way you'll get the sale. You've got to almost pretend you don't care.
Yeah, but they've come in looking for a car. If you knock on somebody's door trying to sell them a load of crappy books they don't want, I don't think it happens anymore, obviously, because we have the internet.
We do.
I quit smoking 5 years ago, says Shane. Never look back. Best decision I ever made, though. It was very tough at the time. Indeed. Good for you, Shane. I worked in 5-star hospitality for 15 years, but I burnt out. Went into an entry-level job in a bank, and I'm now fairly senior in tech. Good for you. Crikey, that's...
Congratulations, that's a lovely story.
They're a hard worker there. So, so people who've changed jobs...
I got to meet this man who changed his job.
My name is Larkin Collins. I run the 1916 Walking Tour of Dublin.
So, for you, what does quitting mean?
Well, for me, it's a fresh start. I think we've all quit something or other in our life. Way back in the 1980s and early 1990s, I was in a very unhappy position as a trainee accountant. And one day, I looked outside on a sunny day and I packed up my little few belongings, my pens and my ruler and what have you, and my calculator, and I walked out of the job, never to return. And I'm always very happy that I quit that scene.
Why did you quit accounting? I mean, you could be living in Fox Rock. I mean, accountants have a shed load of money. They take the top of everyone's €1. They get a few cents here and there, and they're wealthy.
I'll give you one good reason why. It was just extremely boring, and I love being outside. I like meeting people. I like just being on the streets, and cooped up in an office is just a horrific way for me personally to live my life.
So you actually feel quitting accounting was the best thing you ever did all those years back?
I'll have to say that marrying my wife was the best thing I ever did. But yes, quitting accountancy was the second best thing I ever did in my life.
And when we look at America, and when we look at someone with the biggest job in the world, quitting, do you think that was the right call?
Well, you see, I look on it like this. There's a fella who obviously had health issues and he's too old for the job as well. And likewise, I'd call upon Donald Trump to stand down and let someone with half a brain take over instead.
That's probably not the most tempting pitch to put to Donald Trump. There's a guy in Ireland who thinks someone with half a brain should take over from you. That's Larkin there, who used to be a trainee accountant and presumably doesn't live in Killiney.
I think he lives in a lovely Dublin suburb that's probably even more leafy than
Really? Despite the fact that he didn't go into...
Yeah, well, it's a bit unfair to
tour
say
guide
that,
is,
that everyone in Fox
that's
Rock
where the
is an accountant.
The books are.
Well, there's tourism.
The big box.
It's pretty good.
I think you get a good instinct when it's time to quit something and you won't be happy until you listen to that, says Katie in Limerick. And someone else says, I'm retired now. I was an electrician for 50 years. The longest job I ever had was 5 years. The shortest I had was half a day. No, I was only ever let go once I quit all the others. For you. Then again, you're an electrician. That never, you know.
Yep.
That's the thing. If you're going to say to your kids, get a job, be an electrician.
Be a tradesman.
There's only about four of them in the country, as far as I can tell.
Oh, it's impossible.
When you try to get one.
And it's like plasterers, trying to get a plaster in. You know, I did get a good plaster in recently, by the way.
Really? I'll
give you his name afterwards.
I do, yeah.
But,
if you could train to be an electrician / plaster.
Oh, if you could do
that. Would be
that.
Like, that's gold.
Oh, that they...
You could charge through the roof for that.
And he goes on golfing holidays and everything, this guy.
Oh, of course he does. Yeah. So you did meet, of course, with the day that was in it, you did meet some...
There was lots of zombies running around.
They were Cork fans, presumably. Yeah. And that's an example of they didn't give up, but they failed anyway.
Exactly. They fought to the end and then they drowned their sorrows. I met a hungover Cork fan wandering the streets of Dublin.
So you're a Cork fan. You're sad today. Do you feel like your team quit?
No, I don't think Cork quit at all. I think they gave it everything they possibly could. They died with their boots on and they've had a great couple of months.
Which, how is your head today?
Well, it's been better. It was a late night, drowning our sorrows. Yeah.
And what time to bed?
Actually, because we were up so early just yesterday morning, we went to bed quite early, around 11:30.
Yeah. But you're feeling it today?
Feeling the pinch, yeah. Going for a long walk here now to try to...
get ready to get in the car.
Sweat it out, yeah, exactly, yeah.
You've had two very long-term jobs. What were they?
Well, they're both IT-related, and one was pretty much directly out of college,
and I stayed in that for about 10 years until I was forced to quit. So I was made redundant. And the one that I'm in currently, I'm 13 years in it, so.
Wow, and being forced to quit, like Joe Biden was forced to quit, how did it feel?
I suppose the one thing that would stick in my mind would be that you feel like you're not valued and that people don't understand that you were doing a good job. And I suppose you feel a little bit let down by those people then, that they don't appreciate it.
And not good for the self-confidence.
No, absolutely not. I do feel sorry for him today. I think he's a good man, but I think he's probably made the right decision.
Ah, he has. I wonder, did he actually make the decision, or was he just like, you know, they waited until it was in the morning and somebody went in when he was still groggy and said, here, sign that. And he went, okay, what have I just done?
I would
and then
say
he was surprised after. It was probably Kamala Harris, because I've endorsed her as well. Oh, my God. Which one is she again?
The pressure. The huge pressure. Yeah.
I started a teaching course that I didn't like. And I'm really glad I quit it now, because I definitely wasn't cut out to be a teacher. Very happy working in business now. Someone else says, I quit my job as a technician, moved to New York, started as a carpenter, then ended up building concrete skyscrapers and working as a foreman and those kinds of jobs. At the time, everyone said I was nuts to quit. Best decision I ever made.
Amazing.
So, good
building
for you.
Skyscrapers.
Paul on Twitter says, oh my God, listening to your story about selling encyclopedias and quitting after training, I did the exact same thing when I was in Australia in 1995. What a flashback. God, and that's even walking around in the heat.
And it'd be warm.
Be warm. That'd be even worse.
Dealing
especially
with Australians,
if you carry all those...
Lovely. Do you have to carry the books around with you?
I know you don't know. But that would be, if you had to deliver them yourself, that would be even harder. Of course, Henry, thanks a million as ever. Moncrief on News Talk.